Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ooh, ooh. It is Silly Underdog Picks time. You know we do this Thursdays at high noon. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're live here at the Patron Platinum Club. Tonight's the Predators and the Bruins. Congratulations to Joe Roberts. Joe's going to be here too because Joe correctly called in. And this was quick. You know, I don't know if Joe was listening to Smashville Live or he just knows this is a conversation we've had in the past. It's not like it was a big secret. We had talked about it before. But the two teammates, that current teammates that Colton Sissons was living with before his house was completed was, you know, the British Columbia connection. Ryan Johansson and Dante Fabro. It was Johansson's house. And by the way, he said last night, Johansson's house is great. He's like, you know, you got the golf, you got the putting green, you got the pool. He's like, there was nothing wrong with it, but he's like, I'm glad to be in my own house, though.
I have been there.
You've been to Joey's house?
I have. He had a team function there, and what's really weird is the person that lived in that house before he moved in was the family of a friend of my daughter's from school. So I had my daughter had a sleepover over there one time, and I went. I was like, I've been to this house. So it's really weird. I've told Joey that story. It's funny. He has some funny stories on the move out and them moving in, meeting that crew. But it's a beautiful place. It really is.
All right,
they had a team function there, and everybody was trying not to fall into the pool because everybody was gathered. There was food all around the pool, and there was a lot of places to sit.
Oh, you mean you
like
weren't
that.
Dressed for the occasion?
It was a night party.
Okay.
In the fall, you know, it wasn't okay. Really swimming weather.
Is it a heated pool?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't want to find out.
I figured Joey's pool.
I just didn't want to be that guy who accidentally like backed into somebody and knocked them into the pool and then fell in myself. Like that's not good.
Yeah, not cool. All right, let's bring in former quarterback Kelly Holcomb, who we saw Monday night at Georgia's celebrity bowling function for charity. Kelly, what was your high score, by the way?
It was 147, I think. Yeah, 147.
147.
Very respectable.
Nothing wrong with that.
Solid.
D-Mace did 160 was his high.
Yeah, I was next to D-Mace. I kept watching him.
Yeah. Willie did a 104.
It was bad. That's a bad performance.
And
that's not good.
Barely acceptable.
That's not good. You're at 102 now. So.
Yeah, I know.
I can't remember. Very
bad
nice.
Number.
Nicely done. and I can't remember. Oh, yeah, I did a 168. So, but, yeah, it was a fun night, wasn't it?
See, now, Kelly, what? The tone.
What?
Listen to the
what?
Tone.
What?
Kelly,
did I say something
the
wrong?
Tone is the same today what? As it is with this contest. What? I mean, it's just not necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't invited, so I don't have anything.
Really have to bring up the, we really didn't have to bring up the 168. Like, nobody cares. It's bowling. It was for a good cause. It was for charity. Nobody cares, Darren, that you got a 168 cost.
He cares,
I
Kelly.
Do. I do
he cares.
Because I took a picture of it and sent it to D-Base.
Oh, my gosh. He needs to go to Vegas, dude, and, like, let everything ride. I mean, it's just amazing what the guy's doing right now. He's definitely got a green thumb in this, that's for sure.
Well, let me just say this. I don't think I haven't thought about that. I've been kind of kicking myself why I haven't been writing these picks because, you know, we have that ability to do that in this state. And if I would have been doing that, I probably would have the pool that Ryan Johansson has and probably have a putting green too, you know, at my house. But clearly I haven't done that. Real quick, I just want you, Kelly, before we review. Chris is, by the way, Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, is not with us. He's en route. State title games are going on. They're playing in Chattanooga this year.
Yeah,
so
and
they
I'm
are,
en route right now. Yeah,
they're
I'm en route right now, and I'm stuck in traffic.
So what game are you calling?
I'm supposed to call the 3 o'clock game. Chip and I are doing the DCA National Christian game, but they've had a serious wreck on the interstate. So we're on the back roads of Tennessee right now in the hills going into Chattanooga.
Not the hills?
Wait a minute. Are you saying that 24, there's a mess on 24?
Oh yeah. Well, there's always a mess on 24 going to Chattanooga. I mean, they're probably tired of hearing me say this, but you know, even in rush hour traffic, it's a mess. But like right now, it started like 13 miles from downtown Chattanooga, and we're stuck in it.
I want it real quick
before we get there on time.
Yeah, hopefully you will.
Well, you'll see a good game if you do.
Yeah, you got a little bit of time. I want to ask you before we review that a division that you're very familiar with.
Where are all these people coming?
Cincinnati, Cleveland.
Road rage.
I'm never going to get this question out. Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. An interesting division. Ravens and Steelers will play each other this Sunday afternoon. It's a 3:25 game. Pittsburgh desperately needs a win. But when you look at the lay of the land, the Bengals handed it to the Steelers last week. The Ravens keep winning these crazy close games. What do you think? And Baker Mayfield, his health status, the Browns, you can't figure them out either. Like, how do you think ultimately this division is going to shake out?
Well, I hate to go against my Brownies, but I really say I don't know if they're going to win the thing. I don't see them in an upward trend like Baltimore and Cincinnati. Cincinnati's pretty good, and Baltimore, the more I see Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's gotten better throwing the football, but man, I tell you what, he is a competitive guy. And some of these games he's down in, and he brings these guys back. It's kind of unbelievable what he can do. So I think it's a two-man race between Cincinnati and Baltimore. I really do, but I don't know who's. That's a hard deal right there. You can't say Cincinnati because Cincinnati always does something. It seems like to mess it up. So I know Joe Burrow is. He's been playing well. So I don't know. I just like the competitive edge that Lamar Jackson gives those guys. So if you're pulling my arm, I think Baltimore is probably going to win it.
Okay. Chris Sanders must be listening on the team bus. He just sent me a text via my text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Darren, you suck at bowling. So I sent him a picture of my score. So, Willie, let's turn it over to the commish.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your commissioner speaking. It's time for the Silly Underdog Competition 2021, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Let's take a look at the online contest for Week 13, Rivalry Weekend. If I could spit that out.
Rivalry
Weekend.
Pass
yes.
The tequila.
Good warm-up for tonight.
Pass the Patron.
Yeah, get that straightened out before the puck drops here, please. Okay, South Carolina was the most popular pick. 28% of the audience went down with the Gamecocks, who failed to score against their rival Clemson. The next most popular pick, as you might imagine, was Michigan. The Wolverines and their victory over Ohio State, 26% of the competition selected Michigan as one of their three games. Those were by far the two most popular. The third would have been Auburn against Alabama, and we know what happened in that game. What a classic that was. Auburn had it in their grasp for sure. Congratulations to the weekly winner, Michael Carter from Oak Ridge, Tennessee, my mom's hometown. My mom is an Oak Ridge Wildcat. So congratulations to Michael Carter. I don't think he's eligible to win the prize, though, because he's not in our listening area. So Victor Appleton would win the prize. He is from Springfield, Tennessee. So congratulations to Victor. Now, let's find out what happened with the insiders. Chase McCabe had the first pick of the week. Going big, he went with South Carolina. Yeah. Very popular pick, and 30-0, Chase.
Yeah, it didn't work. Which has been the theme of my year. Didn't work.
He didn't even get the respectable cover
on
this one. This one just was a dud from the start.
Clemson's like, hey, we're back.
Yeah, Clemson's 9-3, playing some pretty good ball. Darren McFarlane, who has owned the competition,
unbelievable.
The competition.
Unbelievable.
He went with the next most popular pick. That would be Michigan, an 8-point favorite.
Need to get that?
An 8-point favorite against Ohio State in the snow in the Big House. Great visuals in this game. Really cool atmosphere, and Michigan was awesome. Some big, big plays at key times. They slowed down the very potent Ohio State offense and win going away 42-27. Darren, another victory. He's getting close to triple digits in points. We would really praise you, Darren, if you weren't praising yourself every 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, we would be like, hey, you know, this is pretty cool.
I tried to be reserved early on, and you guys
jumped on me. No, you didn't try to be reserved at all.
No, early on I did, and you guys jumped on me.
When have you ever tried to be reserved? Yeah. Like, come on.
I did at the very beginning.
No, I really don't think that's true.
Week one or two, maybe?
I don't think that's the vibe I was getting.
You guys were like, why aren't you boasting? Why aren't you, you know, talking more smack? Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I will.
Yeah, no, we...
You guys talked me into it. I didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
You guys talked me into it.
Yeah, okay.
Chris Sanders had the next pick. He selected the Indiana Hoosiers, a 15-point dog
Swing
at Purdue. Whoops.
Kind of like
Purdue.
Christmas season. Swing and a miss.
Purdue 44-7, the victory.
Close.
It didn't go very well for the Crimson and Cream. Kelly Holcomb had the next pick. He went with Kansas. Now, he's gone with the Kansas Jayhawks 2 weeks in a row, and they have been right there as a big underdog. Kelly had no choice. He's in second place, but he's in desperation mode. Kansas was a 15.5-point home dog against West Virginia. Covered the game easily. 34-28. They get back to within one score. The week before, right there against TCU, but they come up short. Of course, 3 weeks in a row, you go back, they had beaten Texas. So Kelly was trying to get one more win out of them. It didn't happen.
I mean, Willie, at this point, do we really have to do the review? I mean, we could shorten this down to 15 minutes and just pick games at this point. I mean,
yeah.
Do we really have to do the review?
I'm in favor of the review. I'm just one
well,
vote.
We know, Darren, you're in favor of the review. We get it, Hoss. We understand your cockiness at this point. We get it.
Okay, so I'll only briefly mention then your second pick, which was in the pros, the Saints on Thanksgiving night got smoked by the Bills, 31-6.
That's what I'm saying. Who cares? Who cares?
The Saints were on fumes in that game.
No, but Kelly, listen to this one. Get to Chris's.
Well, this was a fun one. Chris Sanders then had the pro pick. He attempted to take the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
A great pick.
It would have
been very smart.
Fantastic
very smart pick. Great pick.
The problem is they're the favorite.
They were favored against the Steelers. And so when informed of that, he said,
okay.
All right, I'll just take the Steelers.
Except before that, he was saying, like, I just don't think the Steelers have it anymore.
Oh, yeah. He was like, the Steelers have done this. The Bengals are the favorite. Okay, then give me Pittsburgh.
He just flip-flopped. And the Steelers got smashed 41-10. The Bengals just brought the house and overwhelmed Pittsburgh. So that didn't go very well. It's kind of the theme of Chris's season. He has really struggled. Okay, Darren McFarland, then we move on.
On my text line from Chris Sanders, he wants to chime in. He says, tell Darren he looks like John Candy.
Wow. Wow. Things got aggressive in a hurry.
Hey, it's the Thanksgiving theme. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles,
yeah.
You know, John Candy.
I love
all you
got to
do is
Candy.
Get the stash.
He's probably my favorite actor.
Oh, he is funny.
I loved him.
Darren, you
don't
want to
look
pick.
Like him, but I loved him.
Darren, you selected, I think, the most exciting game on the NFL schedule last Sunday. That was the Giants hosting the Eagles as a 3.5-point home dog. A big-time scintillating affair. 13-7, the Giants hang on and beat the Eagles. What the heck happened to the Eagles' offense?
Defense. Hurts threw how many picks? Threw a lot of picks?
I don't know.
Several.
Yeah. Giants' defense actually stepped up.
The Giants' defense? This is not Lawrence Taylor.
They
and
honored
Brian
Lawrence
Kelly.
Taylor before the game.
Did
they
he
were,
play?
That was the inspiration. They honored LT before the game. Uh-huh. They retired his jersey or hung a banner, a ring of honor or something.
Okay. Well, I was wondering if he suited up.
No.
All right. Chase McCabe had the final pick. He went with his heart. The Tennessee Titans, despite the depleted roster. 6.5-point dogs at the Patriots. And Chase, I have to think, when Hilliard ran the 68-yard touchdown run, you were like,
I was feeling good. Then they couldn't hang on to the football anymore. So, you know, they got the fumbles. I didn't necessarily pick with my heart because my my heart even agreed with my brain that they weren't going to win that game. I just needed points, and those were big points on the board. So that's kind of where I went with that.
You took your shot.
I did.
So here are the standings.
Story of my life.
After week 13, read them and weep, unless you're Darren. Darren, another 2-0 week. Only the controversial turnover from a couple weeks ago has kept him from hitting over 100. Busting the clock, as we used to call basketball.
My sheet has me over 100.
Yes, I know it does. Yep. You can still take that up. I still have not received an official appeal to the commissioner's office. But we used to call when you hit 100 points in a basketball game, you bust the clock, right? A lot of old scoreboards, you couldn't put the three digits on the score, so we'd go back to zero. Darren is about to do that. He's 16-9 with 97.5 points. Kelly Holcomb, 7-19 with 29.5. Chase, 5-21 with 28. And Chris Sanders, 2 up and 24 down with 14 points. Guys, you guys combined aren't there with Darren. Should we try to have like a side bet? Do the other three guys combined hit Darren's number?
I don't know what that would do, but
consolation prize? I don't know.
Darren, are you talking to somebody like Jimmy the Greek or Irv Cross, or is there somebody that's giving you like spreadsheets?
His dog.
Honestly, no. And if I was, I would definitely be, you know, I would be sharing these picks with you guys, going, this guy is on a heater. But no, I'm not. I'm just, you know, it's just one of those things. It's working.
Unbelievable.
It's working.
It is working. In fact, I have to share, Kelly and I on a sidebar at the charity event on Monday did have to admit this is the best we've ever seen. Kelly had the greatest season of all time. When was it, last year? Kelly had a great year last year. But this is gonna blow it away, it looks like. Especially in this era where we're picking two games instead of one.
Yep.
So going into week 14, Darren will have the first pick with the big lead. Chris will pick second, Kelly third. Chase will go back-to-back. The Silly Underdog Competition 2021, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Stay tuned. We'll make the picks when we come back. It is time for Silly Underdog Picks, week number 14. Once again, if you just joined us, the standings. Darren McFarland, 97.5. Kelly Holcomb, 29.5. Chase, 28. Chris, 14. Will the other three contestants combine to even come close to Darren? Let's see. Week 14, Darren has the pick. It's the weekend for championships in college football. Not as many games on the ledger, but enough, more than there used to be back in the day when we had this competition. So let's see what the strategy is. Darren has the floor.
I go left here, left around the brewery.
Be a believer. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. He actually tried to sing.
I did.
Chase.
I'm feeling it.
He's breaking the code.
This could change things.
I mean,
that could be the turning point.
Did you not listen to him?
I'm really over 100. I really am. But for the sake of this conversation, because everybody cheated when I was gone. And
I'm worried about Kelly right now.
Didn't pick my game. I have 97.5. I'm going to be at 100 after this because it's going to win.
I'm sorry, but I think Kelly is at a gas station asking for directions.
I think he's got his – it sounds like he's got his map out, and he's like, what road are we on again?
The Atlas.
The MapQuest directions got lost.
I think the cell service is down. He's got to go old school.
Yeah, y'all are just going to have to deal right now. Sorry, man.
All right, Darren, you were saying.
Give me the Ducks in 2.5 because they're going to beat Utah.
Oh, just trying
to. So that'll put me right at 100.
Just trying to get to the century mark.
Like I said, I'm already over 100, okay, officially.
All right, let's go. Oregon is, interestingly enough, I mean, Oregon was the team that had the chance.
Yeah, they're going
to
win this
game. To get in, and they got smoked by Utah. And so Oregon is a 2.5-point dog in the Pac-12 championship game to the Utes.
Interesting.
Nobody else really has the luxury of going for 2.5.
Yeah, well, they're not going to go for it. Right.
Yeah,
right. I understand.
All right. Getting close here.
that will bring us to Chris Sanders.
I'm glad.
I'm trusting that Chris has presented the picks to our deputy commissioner.
Yeah, well, I mean, why should we take his picks? Why don't we just pick for Chris? I mean, since you guys did that to me.
Listen.
So let's just make
Chris
pick for
him. That might actually benefit
him.
Yeah, wait. Yeah, do you want to help him or do you just want him to do what he's been
Would
doing?
Would you like to make
pick
a pick for
game?
Chris?
No, Bruce's not there.
Actually, when
Give
you,
him Houston.
When you, honestly, when you look – I don't think there's any bad picks in here. I mean, I don't think there's anything that's outrageous
Wherever.
When you look at the board. So I don't think we would do him a disservice either way. So I'll turn it back over to the deputy who sucks at his job. Elijah, the floor is yours.
You suck. Hey, you suck. I'm going to beat the hell out of you.
That's, you. Chris is a theme you. He sent for me to play. Chris is going to go. It's funny Chase said Houston because that was the number one option that Chris had here. So Chris is rolling with the Cougars to end Cincinnati's playoff hopes.
Well, he's got to stay with the theme. Houston is a 10.5-point dog. And they are 11-1 and ranked 21st. So this is not a gimme for Cincinnati, who you would presume,
if they win, this is not a gimme.
They are in.
Do you know who their coach is, by the way? Anybody know Houston's coach?
Tom Herman, I believe, right?
No.
Kelvin Sampson?
Nope.
Bum Phillips?
What are you going to say next? Guy Morris? Nope.
Bum Phillips.
Case you have a guess.
Gary Kubiak?
The ghost of Bum Phillips.
Nobody knows.
Dom Capers.
Tom Capers.
Dana Holgorsen is their
Dana
coach.
Dana Holgorsen. Nice.
Has he done what Willie did and like given up and just
No, he's still got the crazy kind of flow.
He should give up at that point. Just saying.
He's got kind of the clown look up top.
Got the way back.
Yep.
That's way back up.
Yep. That's right.
So Cincy is a 10.5-point favorite, so Chris has the Cougs from Houston. All right, that brings us to Kelly Holcomb. You'll have to put the Atlas down and make the pick.
He's like, I'm going to take Waze.
Chip, we are lost.
Yeah, I've gotten to the stadium. I'm about to walk through, so this is going to be short and sweet. I don't know who Chase picked. Who did Chase pick?
I haven't picked yet.
He's after you.
Oh, he's after me. Okay, give me Baylor.
Mm.
Give me Baylor.
That's who I was going to pick.
Yeah, and then, I need to dadgum go, but that's okay. I'll stay on here for a second, okay?
Okay.
All right, so let's quickly get to Chase. Baylor is a 5.5-point dog against Oklahoma State in the Big 12 title game. We turn it over to Chase.
That's how I feel. No chance at this point. So I'm going to throw downfield again. Give me Iowa plus 11, Michigan with the letdown. Give me the Hawkeyes.
Iowa, who is 10-2 and ranked 13th, is an 11-point dog against Michigan, who is win and in the playoff after that massive win. All right, Chase, working quickly, we move into the pros.
Then for the NFL, I will take the Pittsburgh Steelers plus 4.5.
So the theme is black and gold, I see. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
That was my NFL game.
Well, maybe that's a good thing for Chase.
Well, who?
Steelers are a 4.5-point dog against the Ravens, and it is a big game for Pittsburgh. They need this one to stay in the race. Okay, Kelly, back to you for your final pick. And then, first of all, I'm really glad you guys are at the stadium. I was picturing you guys in the hills somewhere in Chattanooga, in the Smokies.
We were in the hills, but he took Pittsburgh, so I took his college pick. He took my pro pick, so... You know what? I'm going to say the Patriots beat my former team, which I hate doing that, but I'm just going to say New England is going to win that game. And with that, fellas, I got to go.
All right. Enjoy the
broadcast.
See ya.
All right. Kelly Holcomb checking out, taking the Patriots, who, despite winning 6 in a row, are a 2.5-point dog in Buffalo against the Bills in a massive game for the AFC East division race, the Patties. All right. That brings us to Chris Sanders and his pro pick. What does he have up his sleeve? Deputy Commissioner Elijah Campbell.
All right. With
the Lions.
Ooh, that's an interesting option here. Let me pull it back up.
Broncos.
Chris has the Falcons over the Buccaneers.
The Falcons against the Bucks. Oh, wow.
Chris.
Would you not think the Broncos are a better pick?
No.
If you're going for a big points?
No. Nope, I don't.
Better than the Falcons?
I actually think the Lions.
Falcons are at least at home.
I think the Lions could be a better pick against the Vikings.
The Falcons are an 11-point home dog against the Buccaneers. Okay, that brings us to Darren for the final pick of the week.
Guardian Fever.
No, actually, I do. I tend to agree with you. I'm a little bit on that Lions pick. Like, all their games are close, so they're in position, but they just can't
no
finish.
No Dalvin Cook.
What about a Meadowlands sweep? Giants and then Jets. The Eagles are in the Meadowlands to take on the Jets. Why not?
This is not going to – this is going to surprise you. The Chargers need this. They need it bad. And I know the Bengals do too. But everybody's feeling good about Cincy. One or two in a row, two blowouts. I'm going to take the Chargers. Why isn't that line higher? Why is it only three?
Because I think the Chargers are very capable. They're Jekyll and Hyde. They can be very good. Chase and I are very much hoping for a high-scoring game in that one.
Yes.
We got some Chargers. Chargers are a three-point dog in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. Okay. It is time to recap the picks. Week 14, Darren McFarlane, the first pick, goes with the Ducks of Oregon. Playoff hopes pretty much dashed. 2.5-point dogs against the team that dashed the hopes, the Utah Utes, in the Pac-12 championship game. Chris Sanders going to the championship for the American Athletic Conference. He'll take the Houston Cougars, very quietly, an 11-1 season, a 10.5-point dog against undefeated Cincinnati, ranked fourth, trying to hang on and get into the playoffs. Kelly Holcomb, hopelessly behind in the competition, definitely multitasking during the pick, selecting Baylor, a 5.5-point dog in the Big 12 title game against Oklahoma State, who still has some championship playoff hopes. If they can have everything fall right, they could get in if they win this game. Chase McCabe selects the Iowa Hawkeyes, an 11-point dog in the Big Ten championship game against Michigan, who suddenly is a win and in for the college football playoff. Then Chase stays with the black and gold team and goes with the Steelers in the pros, a 4.5-point dog taking on the Baltimore Ravens. And a Steelers gotta have it kind of game. All of a sudden, the Ravens, the number one seed in the East. That's kind of been a jinx, though, over the last few weeks. It's been a shuffle. Kelly Holcomb takes the Patriots, a 2.5-point dog in Buffalo against the Bills in a massive game for the AFC East. Chris Sanders comes back and takes the Falcons, who, despite some really ugly losses, are still in the playoff race in the NFC, and very much so. They're an 11-point dog at home against the Buccaneers. And then finally, Darren McFarlane, if he wins one of his two games, he will officially hit triple digits on the season in points. He's got a huge lead. He'll take the LA Chargers, a 3-point dog in Cincinnati against the Bengals. Remember, you can play our contest online with us every week. Have some fun with it. Go to thegamenashville.com. You'll select three underdogs who must win outright for you to get any points. College or pro, any combination. Got to get the picks in before Saturday at 10. Those are our picks for Week 14. Gentlemen, good luck.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Willie, why don't you tell everybody about QC Kinetics?
All right, let me tell you about QC Kinetics. They want to throw this out to you. If you've been having that joint pain and it's bugging you and you're just not quite able to do the things you're doing and you're just, whatever treatment you've had or have had suggested, maybe it's just not working for you, or you're looking for something else. That is the sweet spot for QC Kinetics. So they want to challenge you. Resolve right now to get yourself moving again for 2022 and explore QC Kinetics, non-surgical regenerative treatments for joint pain. We're talking about lasting results using natural biologics. No surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, no downtime. Exciting stuff. Check it out. Restorative treatments that actually encourage your body to heal itself. And it uses highly concentrated natural biologics. Patients are really raving about this stuff. So get rid of that knee pain, that hip pain, that back pain. Check it out. Don't let them give you steroids. Don't let them tell you that the surgery is the only option. Get that second opinion and see if this is for you. QC Kinetics. Do it now and imagine life in 2022 without that chronic pain. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. They're new to this area. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Good tune. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. We are live here at the Patron Platinum Club. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. And don't forget on game day, which is today, Predators hosting the Bruins tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call on these airwaves. I'll have your pregame starting at 6. But our game day broadcasts are brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens and baths. You can go to their website, gohermitage.com. We gave away some tickets earlier on the show to the game tonight. How about we give away tickets to see Bill Burr here at Bridgestone Arena on Friday night, April 22nd?
Can I ask a trivia question?
Okay. I did that for the hockey tickets. We could do that for these. All right, ask the question.
In honor of what's happening in our city tonight, the NASCAR awards banquet, you have to tell Elijah what NASCAR stands for.
Ah, I love it.
Okay. Do that at 615-737-1025. Answer that to Elijah, and if you can do that properly, then you will be the first one to answer it the correct way, or give the correct answer the correct way.
You do have to answer it the correct way.
Baby. Pass the Patron. You'll see Bill Burr at Bridgestone.
Side effect of too much of that.
He's been patting himself on the back so much that he can't put sentences together.
It's all a blur. It's all a blur. Too much Craig Nog here in the Platinum Club.
Have we seen Craig yet?
I saw him. I saw
Willie
him.
Did.
Yeah.
I texted with him, but I haven't seen him yet.
It'd be kind of hard to since we don't go downstairs. Yeah. So.
Well, that's true.
Well, you do, but actually you're not doing that tonight.
So. No.
We have not seen him. But
he said to tell everybody hello. His awesome wife, Aaliyah, is in town for the game as well to catch up with some friends. So it'll be good to watch. It'll be weird. He goes, this is weird.
I'm sure.
That's exactly the words he used. He goes, this is weird. You know, he's downtown. He's like, stuff has even changed since I've been here. He's like thinking, do I remember how to get to where I used to live? All this stuff. And just walking around the building, going to the other locker room. It's odd that first time.
Well, I met the Burnouts on Broadway last night. And I saw who I thought. I was like, those look like hockey players. We all know that the hockey look. I'm like, are the Bruins already here? And so I texted Craig and I said, hey, are you guys here yet? And it was like 30 minutes later, I get a response. The eagle has landed. So good to have Smitty back in the house.
Hard to believe it's the first time.
I know. Yeah. That's what's so weird. So weird about it. But, like I said, Darren, as much time as we spent in the locker room, Willie too, you get to know those guys. Craig was always great to deal with. So very easy going. So hope it's hope his team doesn't win, but hope he has a good homecoming.
Not supposed to pick favorites, but he was definitely one of my favorites for sure. Let's talk about some of these games because we're gonna have Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. By the way, the Predators, and we'll discuss this in the final hour as well. They're going to unveil the Stadium Series jersey tonight at 5 o'clock. There'll be a press conference at 5 o'clock tonight, so a couple hours before puck drop. But we'll discuss that in the final hour. But making the picks and looking at the slate and what's at stake this weekend for Silly Underdogs. And so we were, you know, picking these some of these games, championship games. And, you know, for Oregon's sake, I think Oregon's going to be Utah, but it doesn't matter. Like, their season, it's over. They've already lost two games, and so the Pac-12, again, not a factor in any of this.
Nope.
We'll see if this changes moving forward with Lincoln Riley at USC. Baylor and Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. That's a Saturday morning 11 a.m. kickoff. Can Oklahoma State do anything to push themselves into the playoff scene?
I think that's one of the more intriguing aspects.
Or do they need everybody to lose?
Well,
but remember, too, that Notre Dame doesn't even play. So you have them just sitting back.
I think they're toast.
You don't think there's any way? Well,
everybody loses.
Everybody loses.
Do they get? I think Notre Dame, and it's unfair to the kids, I think they get punished because Brian Kelly left.
No, they're not getting punished because Brian Kelly
left. No, I mean, they're not. They're already not in it, but like they – like, if you're trying to play style points and, you know, if Cincinnati loses and do they move up, I mean, do you – if you're the committee, do you not consider the fact that they don't have a head coach? There are their head coaches left as a factor?
Is it a given that he would not coach them if they got in to the playoffs? Has that been said?
I mean, I
know he told them goodbye.
3 minutes to say goodbye. Okay.
I'm just saying, I didn't know –
if I'm the administration, I don't let him coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
He's gone.
That's fair. I mean, maybe that is the case. He did say goodbye.
But
he
bolted on Cincinnati when Cincinnati was in the Sugar Bowl when he got the Notre Dame job.
Yeah.
Didn't coach
him.
Okay,
so, all right, I guess we need to go on the... So...
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
no,
do
I do.
That?
I do. I don't think it's an outlandish statement. I mean, you have to factor that in. You would have to factor that in. I mean, he is a big part of their success. He's the head coach, and he's had a ton of success there, and now he is bolted to the SEC, and so he would not be available for this because, I think it would be way too awkward at this point. You do a four-minute speech, and you tell everybody goodbye, and then, you're in the playoffs. I'm back.
Yeah,
I'll coach you in the playoffs.
No, that's not happening.
That's not happening. So he's out, and so, yes, I would say.
But what if they hire the defensive coordinator?
Freeman.
So there's really still continuity. It's your same staff.
Yeah,
you're not bringing
in
a bunch of.
Well, they're going to probably.
That's what it looks like they're
going to
do.
Well, I mean, he'll be.
But the question is it affecting how the voters, the committee looks at Notre Dame?
I think so.
I don't think it's even if they keep the same staff and everybody's there.
But I don't think it's going to come to that. But yeah, I think it would. I think if you have to choose between Notre Dame and Oklahoma State, let's say.
Well, there's scenarios where Notre Dame is right in the mix.
Yeah.
If Oklahoma State loses, and if Alabama loses, and if Michigan loses, I don't think that's completely out of the realm. Cincinnati's in that too. Like if they get two teams to lose, then they'll get some consideration, I would think, just by not playing.
Ryan just sent me this. So the chairman of the college football playoff, Gary Barta, did say Brian Kelly's departure can be considered a Notre Dame's college football playoff case. So, there you go.
Well, they're but human beings. Of course it's going
to
be considered.
I mean,
you have
not
to consider.
It's not computers. I mean, of course it's
going
to be. That's why I said it's not crazy. It's human beings in a room.
Yeah. But if they cleaned out the staff and they didn't have a coach and they were in limbo, then I think that's one thing. But if they just elevate the defensive coordinator, then I think they should be considered the same way. I don't think they should be looked at any differently. They won't be a different team than they were, scheme-wise or anything like that.
By the way, congratulations to Matt Anderson. Matt correctly, and I think it did take a couple of calls. It was not right out of the chute. Matt said National Association of Stock Car Auto Racing.
Yep.
NASCAR.
Yep.
There you go. So, Matt, enjoy that show here at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, April 22nd. I don't know how it couldn't be. I mean, it's human beings. Of course it's going to be considered. I mean, it'd be nice. Yeah, I get it. It's Freeman. But honestly, we don't know. We don't have any idea what it's going to look like with Freeman. Now, that's the short window, so you could say, well, there's really nothing to worry about in the short window. I think long term, do you really think, by the way, that's where they're going?
That's what I'm hearing.
All indications are, well, I'm hearing something else.
I'm hearing, sounds like
commercial popped
the
up
Godfather
there.
Or something.
Commercial popped up there. That's what I'm hearing, but I guess obviously it's not done yet. I was just looking too. You asked the question about Oklahoma State. I just think they're kind of a mystery. You know, they've done great, certainly in the Big 12. They don't have the great win non-conference. Right?
Yeah, but they have better wins. I mean, by the way, nobody outside of Alabama and them can they get a top 10 win this weekend.
Right.
Like, Alabama and Oklahoma State are the only ones that can get an impressive win, a top 10 opponent. That's it.
So this is also the weird thing about the Big 12.
The borderline teams.
You've got to beat Baylor, but you've already beaten Baylor. So you kind of like, we got to do this again?
If they lose, you can forget. Like, if Oklahoma State, that's currently sitting at fifth, if they lose, like, you can just
forget. Of course. Well, we absolutely. I mean, this is all predicated on them beating Baylor for a second time that they've already done. It's kind of like they probably wish they could find a way to play somebody else they haven't played.
Yeah, but they just beat Oklahoma, though. They just beat Oklahoma. That means that they will be coming off winning.
But
Oklahoma is highly ranked.
Highly ranked, yeah, but are they that guy? It's so hard to know. I don't think they have a real.
Oklahoma's what? Going to that game fifth? Sixth? I mean, I'm saying you're beating two top ten teams back-to-back weeks. Like,
this
has to be considered.
This is really what I'm getting at. Let's say that Alabama, in a game that everybody's going to be watching, takes Georgia to the wire. It's the same type of game that we always see. A couple years ago, they went to overtime in the championship game. There was the Jalen Hurts off the bench comeback. I mean, classic college football games. Let's say that Georgia ekes it out and beats Alabama, but it's tight, and it's a college football classic.
Well,
Alabama's sitting there with two.
Game.
Okay, let's say in overtime. They have two losses. Oklahoma State wins. They're the Big 12 champion. They have one loss. I think you'll have a lot of people saying, hey, man, Alabama is just better than Oklahoma State. But I would still vote for Oklahoma State if it's between those two teams.
Yeah.
But I just think you're going to have a really strong argument if you're Alabama.
Texas A&M losing to LSU hurt
it did.
Alabama.
I agree. It did not help.
I think that the committee looks at that now.
But, like, nobody's played Georgia close.
Right.
No.
Right. Now, here's where I think it would get tricky. If Cincinnati ekes out one
against Houston,
does the committee go, okay, Alabama's schedule obviously tougher than Cincinnati's. They have two losses. A&M loss didn't look great. But still, A&M's not an awful team.
Not awful.
Do they then go Alabama, because the objective is to put the four best teams in. Alabama is better than Cincinnati. And then
This is what I fear.
If Cincinnati is undefeated,
the committee,
they have to be in.
No, they don't have to.
Yes,
they do not have to.
Yes, they do. They have to be in.
You can take that stance, which you've done all. Watch them hardly at all. They don't have to be in.
They have to be in.
No, they don't.
Politically, they've got to be.
See, that's the problem. That's where I fear, Chase, is the committee is like, oh, we've got to get one of these non-power five. We can't slide them. Like, we've got to put them in.
Okay, but here's
when they don't, because if they had the schedule of all these other teams, they wouldn't be in this position. They just wouldn't. I've watched them. They're not a top four team.
But let me play devil's advocate.
Them in because you've got to. And I fear that's probably what they're going to do.
But this is the Cincinnati has things that some of these other teams that have been in this position have not had. They beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame.
So
Notre Dame
one win
in the clubhouse
gets you in. One win.
Absolutely.
So that's all you got to do is get one win on your schedule and you're in the playoffs? How many teams in the SEC or other teams would qualify for that?
Who else has a win like that?
One good win and you're in?
Let me also tell you that there's got to be an eye test with Cincinnati
And I know that last year doesn't count, but Cincinnati played toe-to-toe with Georgia.
Last year is irrelevant. It's irrelevant.
But they're not last year's team.
Yeah, but they might be better than they were last year. No, they're not. They're not better than last year.
What are you telling me?
Me watching them. I watch them. They're not better than last year's team. They're not even close.
I just don't see how you can say that.
There have been some close games with them that shouldn't have been close.
They're not better than last year's team.
Now, I disagree.
I think that it is important to look at what conference you're in and therefore the strength of schedule. Obviously, Alabama has the argument of we play in the toughest division in college football. People call it the fifth NFL division. I mean, they do. And so does that work for them? When the committee's looking at, okay, Cincinnati eked out some games that they probably should have run away with, but they didn't. That's where the style points
come into play. Oklahoma State beat Kansas by like 60.
Which is exactly what they should have done.
And guess what? Cincinnati wasn't doing that. They were hanging on to beat lower tier teams. This team can't even sniff last year's team. They're not better than last year's team. That's my opinion.
Alabama has some of those too, though. I mean, Alabama beat Florida by only two.
I understand Alabama is not the same Alabama team, but Alabama standards are they're supposed to beat everybody by 40, and this year that's not realistic with this team. This team is not the same as last year's, but if this Cincinnati team had Alabama's schedule, we wouldn't even be talking about this. We wouldn't be talking about it because they wouldn't be undefeated.
So what you're saying essentially is if you play in that conference, you cannot be eligible to play.
That is not what I'm saying at all.
That is what you're saying because they have a non-conference.
You should never let a team in because everybody should do this. Let's schedule one doozy and not worry about the rest of the schedule, and let's just play cupcakes and try to go for that one game.
But we deserve to be in because of one game. They play in a conference where you have
that happens to be down this year. It's not their fault. I'm sorry, but their conference is down this year.
But they went out and they did play a very tough opponent who's got one loss, who happens to be number six, that they won in that building. They've done everything they can do.
And they are in if they win. Okay, that's fine. If you want to put a team in because of one game, that's fine. That's your prerogative.
If you don't have them in, even if they barely beat Houston, then there is no scenario where a team that's outside of the Power Five can ever get in.
It's not true. This is all about style points, and they don't have the style points this year. They don't. Guess what? When you have a lousy schedule, you better win the style points.
They won at Notre Dame.
And they're not. Okay,
they won at Notre Dame.
I've got it. You've used the one reference that you've got, and then you're beating these lowly teams at below 500 on the last play or last possession. That's part of it.
Let's just have chaos. Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati all lose. Let's just do that. See what happens.
To me, if Georgia loses, there's less chaos because Georgia and Alabama would be in
no matter what.
Yeah, Georgia's in no matter what.
But there's argument even if it's a close game and Alabama loses. But if Michigan loses to Iowa, Michigan's not it. Michigan's out.
Definitely not.
Navy won three games this year. Navy's awful. Cincinnati beat them by a touchdown. Navy's awful. They've been smoked all year.
Doesn't bother me.
Won three games, and Cincinnati beat them by a touchdown.
Doesn't bother me at all.
In an ugly, ugly game. All right, we'll come back. Elliot Freeman to begin the final hour. That's next.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.